This is Mike Demeter, and I'm here with world-renowned strength coach Charles Poliquin on our podcast on energy. Evening, Charles.
Good evening, Mike.
Pleasure to have you here, and if I could start with our first question. Regardless of the demographics of the clients, everyone seems to need more energy. But before we approach the remedies, would you care to expand on the rise globally in this energy deficit?
Well, there's quite a few factors that influence that rise in energy deficits. One of them is increased world toxicity. For example, since World War II, we've dumped 85,000 different chemicals in the environment. Only 50% have been tested for safety in adult population, but not in children. So children usually have poor detoxification processes, so our kids are at danger. There are things, for example, like 9/11. I mean, 9/11 had a severe impact in the subconscious mind of the American population. And many functional medicine practitioners have seen a increased amount of anxiety in clients since those sad events of September 11. And what happens is that people feel that they're not safe. And then they go to the airport, and the security keeps increasing. You know, after 9/11, there was increased security. Then they say, okay, you can't have any fluids, and now you got to take off your shoes because there's shoe bombs and blah, blah, blah. And what happens is that people are constantly reminded that they should feel unsafe. And because of that, that increases, at the subconscious level, a lot of anxiety and feelings of insecurity. So, and then, of course, the media, with all the wars and healthcare reform and all the sad news, then again, people don't feel that they are protected.
So really, this age of constant information is creating such a drain that we have that much stacked against us right from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, most stress experts will agree that we have 100 times the levels of stress than our grandfathers had. So, of course, it's going to impact on our health.
And 1/100th of the quality soil to provide the nutrients to deal with it.
Probably.
Okay. Well, let's start with the chronic issues. Mm-hmm. There are those people that cannot get up. They have loads of energy late in the day, but they cannot get out of bed. Could you explain this paradigm and how we address it?
Well, it's what we call a reverse cortisol curve. So what's happening is they're producing hormone cortisol at the wrong time during the day. You're supposed to produce cortisol early during the day. So when people present with those symptoms, they're actually showing that they're starting to adapt negatively to stress. So it's actually not a good thing. It's a sign that you're stressing your adrenal glands.
So what would this present as in a test?
Well, you could submit the client to what you call a adrenal hormone test. And what it involves is producing saliva 4 times a day at specific times. That saliva is sent to a lab, and they analyze for adrenal hormones. What they look for is the stress hormone cortisol, and they look for a representation of the androgenic reserve, which is basically all male are you, and that they look for DHA sulfate. And what the lab does is that it measures the ratio and the width of variance between these two hormones. And then once you know what's the ratio between your cortisol and your DHEA at certain times during the day, you're actually able to assess precisely what level of adrenal stress you are in. And usually most labs will rank you on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being the early signs of stress, which I really see nowadays, and most people present either at stage 4 up to stage 7. At stage 7, you're quite ill, and that manifests itself with low energy in the morning and low sex drive, and basically people feel miserable all day.
So let's fix it. This is all about energy. Mm-hmm. And the person suffering these symptoms, what would your advice be?
Well, there are very simple choices that one can make. The most important thing someone can do to get out of adrenal fatigue is actually food selection. There's an axiom in functional medicine, which is, we put stress out with our mouths and we induce stress in with our mouths. In other words, we stress other people by what we say and we stress ourselves by what we eat. So at least we have a control over what we eat. I mean, it's well accepted the only hormone that we have 100% control over is insulin. So insulin is an anabolic hormone. It builds tissue, but if we make too much of it, we actually also store fat. We age our brains prematurely. We age our eyes prematurely. A recognized axiom in medicine now is insulin is the hormone of aging. So the more insulin you produce in your life, the faster you age. So you want to make sure you control your insulin. Insulin is very easy to control when you think about it because it's all based on our food choices. I mean, how many clients do you know have eaten something by accident? I mean, I've never heard of a donut mugging where a donut forces himself onto someone, right? You never have the news where they say, oh, this poor woman was attacked by 12 donuts and they forced themselves inside of her. It doesn't happen. So we have 100% control over what we eat, but also we have control of what we feed our kids. So a lot of parents actually stress themselves by what they feed to their kids. So if a kid eats a bunch of Skittles loaded with food colorings, obviously he's going to become hyperactive within minutes, and that will stress the parent out who will produce cortisol, and he's going to say something nasty to his kid, which is going to stress his kid. And, you know, people do it to themselves every day.
Right. Now, for the person that is devoid of energy in the morning, they keep hitting the snooze bar. You've spoken of the meat and nut breakfast.
Yeah, the meat and nut breakfast, which you can get in full detail on my website, is a way to increase two important neurotransmitters that control your energy levels, namely dopamine and acetylcholine. One thing I like to tell my students is that the first thing you put in your mouth in the morning, provided it's food, will dictate all neurotransmitters for the whole day. If the first thing you put in your mouth is a swig of orange juice, well, what it's going to do, it's going to increase serotonin. You're going to feel good for a while, but you won't feel that motivated to go to work. So what you want to do is eat foods that usually contain a lot of the amino acid tyrosine, which also helps with thyroid function, but it also helps make the neurotransmitters that are what we call excitatory. So in other words, they increase your energy. It's all a matter of timing. You got to eat the right foods at the right time.
So could you give me some examples of the tyrosine-rich foods they should have early in the morning for energy?
Typically, eggs or red meats contain a lot of tyrosine. So for example, energy-increasing breakfast could be, let's say, a buffalo steak or buffalo patties with macadamia nuts. Then the next day, you could have, let's say, a steak with some Brazil nuts. The next day could be veal and cashews and so on. And then by alternating those breakfasts, because you don't want to develop food intolerances by always eating over and over the same foods, you will increase your energy, you'll increase the drive at work, and you'll increase your attention span.
So with this elevated energy earlier in the day, they're resetting the ideal rhythm for the body and things should calm down later in the day?
Precisely. One of the reasons why people don't have good energy is because they don't eat energy-building foods at the right time. As the day goes by, you want to actually eat things that allow relaxation. So as the day goes by, you proportionally want to increase the amount of carbohydrates in your diet, provided they're what they call paleo carbs. In other words, carbohydrates that were available to the caveman. So what I tell my athletes to make it very simple is say, if you're going to put this in your mouth, ask yourself one question. Did the caveman have access to that food? For example, did the caveman have access to apples? Yes. Did he have access to donuts? No. So the choice is very clear. If the caveman had access to that food, you can eat it. Did the caveman have access to bread? No. Don't eat bread. And if you follow a caveman's diet, your energy levels should be regulated and will control the ebbs and flows of energy throughout the day.
So now how about the opposite scenario? There are some people who bounce out of bed at 3:59, just before the alarm. But by mid-afternoon, that downward spiral starts. What can we do to keep our electricity a little longer?
Well, a lot of it would probably do with the makeup of the meals throughout the day. In some people, depending on genotype, they may be eating carbohydrates too early during the day. There's actually a genetic test produced about an hour from here, just south of Boston, that will be able to determine for people the right proportion of the macronutrients, which are protein, fats, and carbohydrates. And that test runs for about $150 and will be available to the general public very soon. So that would be one strategy for that. One of the things that influences that late afternoon, morning drop-off is actually the proportion of smart fats in the diet. So, for example, if you don't eat enough good fats in your diet, that will impact your energy.
How about telling our listeners what you would deem the smart fats?
Well, smart fats are things like fish oil, the fats you find in nuts and seeds, avocado fat, olive oil. Those are smart fats. They're fats that are good for you. We're not talking about the fats you find in donuts or hot dogs.
All right. We've discussed yin and yang supplements as they relate to sleep. Could we do similarly with controlling the ebb and flow of our energy levels?
If you talk about energy, one of the supplements that actually does a lot for one's energy level is actually the amino acid carnitine. If you talk to Dr. Mark Houston from the Hypertension Institute in Nashville, Tennessee, one of the key nutrients he uses with people with poor energy levels is actually simple carnitine tartrate. And the reason why you want to do that is that energy from burning fats is actually based on carnitine-dependent enzymes. And most people don't eat a lot of meat because of different lifestyle choices. But once you increase the amount of carnitine they have in their diet, now we're talking here at least 3 grams a day, up to 6 grams a day. 500 milligrams of carnitine won't do much for you. If you combine carnitine with fish oil, you do get a synergistic effect, and that increases energy long term. And the good news with that is that Dr. Houston pointed out in a recent seminar that patients who have a hard time losing fat, what you call weight loss resistant patients, actually break a plateau once they use enough omega-3s combined to carnitine.
And what dosing of omega-3s would we be speaking of?
That would depend actually on the percentage of body fat of the client. The fatter they are, the more omega-3s they would need. And of course, the fatter they are, the more carnitine they would need. So if you have an obese patient with, let's say, 30% body fat, you're looking probably at 30 grams of fish oil a day, which would, depending on the concentration and the quality of the fish oil, would supply anywhere between 15 to 22 grams of omega-3s. And then for those omega-3s to work most efficiently, we're looking at 3 to 6 grams of carnitine.
Okay, and the fish oil for 30 grams, that's what, about 3 tablespoons a day?
It's actually 2 tablespoons a day.
2 tablespoons, okay. So what about the athlete who's looking for a highly energized workout? What would your advice be?
Well, caffeine is actually can be your friend if you use it in the right dosage. Caffeine is one of the best ergogenic aids you could use. And there's nothing wrong with caffeine if you use that caffeine readily. I don't like people to use caffeine if they're not going to work out. So caffeine pre-workouts or things like green tea, combine the caffeine, so you can take a caffeine supplement with green tea before working out, will increase your energy. There's no problem with it if you're going to train. One thing that really helps out not get side effects from caffeine is to combine it to 2 amino acids, tyrosine and phenylalanine. When you take those 2, you can have energy, but without the jitters normally associated with caffeine. And we've created a product called Javastim for that purpose. Now, that would be your pre-workout energy supplement. While you're working out, there are 2 main supplements that help you have greater work capacity, meaning the ability to repeat set after set without much fatigue. And the research is very clear that those ingredients work, and one of them being beta-alanine. Now, the dosage for that will vary greatly from one athlete to another. It could be as low as 1 gram up to 10 grams, but it's something you got to play with. Then the next one would be branched chain amino acids. I find the best results occur when you take 20 to 40 grams. Now you're going to say, wow, well, that's a big dosage. Well, yes, but it's also big results. I mean, taking a minute dosage will not even statistically do anything significant for you. The real magic occurs when you take, and here, of course, I'm giving you a dose for a 200-pound man, so you could adjust based on body weight. But for a 91-kilo or 200-pound male athlete, 20 to 40 grams will do magic. So in a female that only weighs, let's say, 60 kilos, 132 pounds, you could use roughly 2/3 of that dosage, and usually because it got less muscle mass, half that dosage would be plenty. So 10 to 20 grams for a 60 kilo female will make a tremendous difference in her ability to build lean muscle mass. And the more lean muscle mass you build, the more insulin sensitive you are. And the more insulin sensitive you are, the better you can use carbohydrates. So it allows you to lose body fat much more efficiently and put on muscle mass.
And still with athletes and performance, earlier today we were discussing mitochondrial health. Could you expand on that?
Well, mitochondria is basically the furnace of the cell. The furnace of the cell is what is responsible for energy. One of my best mentors in nutrition was Robert Crayon, who unfortunately died recently. But he said this statement, which I think is a true reflection of what goes on. He says, if you want to take care of your energy levels, take care of your mitochondria. So one of the reasons why, you know, people see kids at a young age and they got boundless energy is because they got basically unattacked mitochondria. So the more care you give to your mitochondria, the more energy you'll have. And the real spark plugs for healthy mitochondria is the level of B vitamins that you have in your body, but also the levels of antioxidants you have in your body. So, for example, if your diet is rich in fruits and vegetables, you will have better energy.
And in terms of dosing for B vitamins or the ideal antioxidant mix, because athletes are tuning in and they're going to be writing down verbatim and take the formula to the gym, what would you advise?
Well, there are charts available on the internet for something called a PI, which stands for phytonutrient index. So if they Google that, there will be charts, for example, that will show you that blueberries and raspberries contain far more antioxidants, let's say, than watermelon and bananas. So not all fruits and not all vegetables are created equal. For example, the vegetable kale has a lot of nutrients as opposed, let's say, to potatoes. So just choosing phytonutrient-rich foods like blueberries can make a tremendous difference. Of course, nowadays, people are a bit lazy, so nutrition companies have formulated what you call superfoods or food concentrates, and usually they're basically dehydrated vegetables or dehydrated fruits ground up in a powder, and they're mixed in with water, and they provide a really, really high source of antioxidants. In my product line, I've got three products for that: Primal Greens, Primal Reds, and Phyto PX. And basically, they're fruit and vegetable concentrates that you could just mix in with water and use as a drink.
Now, are they stimulant in nature, or could they be taken at any time?
Well, they're not stimulant in nature, like, let's say, the way caffeine would be. But the only caveat with that is that when you go to bed, you want to be slightly acidic to actually kill off bacteria. So the only time you don't take a rich source of alkalizing nutrients is at bedtime.
So first thing in the morning is more the optimum.
Or throughout the day, but after, let's say, 8 o'clock at night, they're not the best choice.
And the mitochondria that's impeded, what might be some causes that would give this issue?
Mitochondria are attacked mainly by pollutants in the environment. Choosing the right water filter, which eliminates a source of pollutants, can be wonderful to increase your energy levels.
And as pollutants go, metals, plastics, pesticides, are there any that affect the mitochondria more than another?
They all do, but probably more heavy metals and pesticides.
So it's worth profiling if the athlete's not responding to the supplements that we'd recommended.
Or even non-athletes, I strongly suggest that people, as a routine exercise, go through what we call toxicity tests, which they can obtain from a functional medicine practitioner. And to find a good one, you could go to ifm.org or you could go to acam.org.
Now, I'm going to switch gears because we've been talking about the athlete, but people that really have to deal with energy issues would include a stressed mother with children getting them up in the middle of the night, or shift workers. What advice would you have for them?
Well, the difference would be quite different from one to the other. But for example, young mothers are very stressed because they have to attend the needs of their children. But if they fix the diet of their children, they can do a lot for their own energy levels because the kids have normal energy patterns. You know, kids should go to bed early because they need to. So fixing the kids' diet is excellent. I would recommend a book by Robert Rountree, which you could easily find on Amazon.com, that deals with children's nutrition. Robert, with his co-authors, provides a lot of information on the right food choices for kids. Then the mother, one of the things that, for example, I tell young mothers to do is to remove the night light from the child's room. Some kids cannot fall asleep unless there's a night light. You know, they feel more secure. That's fine, but as soon as they're asleep, the parent should unplug the night light, and the kid will be able to make the right hormonal cascade while he sleeps. The sleep will be restorative, and the kid won't come in at 3 in the morning and wake up the parents, which disrupt their sleep patterns. So kids do better disrupting their parents' sleep, and they handle it better than their parents do. So as simple as removing the night light can make a huge difference on the mother's sleep patterns.
Okay. And how about the shift worker? They have their own set of circumstances.
Shift workers, the main thing with shift workers is they got to eat according to the same way you would deal with jet lag. So, for example, if you travel east, you know, you get there, everybody's awake, but you want to feel like you want to go to bed. So if you have a tyrosine-rich diet throughout the day, then you'll be able to have energy. And as you're nearing bedtime, you want to do the reverse and increase your carbohydrates so you produce more serotonin so you could fall asleep. And you do the reverse if you're traveling west, correct? So if you're traveling west, everybody's awake, but you feel like you should go to bed. So what you want to do is, again, play with your carbohydrate and your proteins. One of the things with shift workers that is very disruptive is that they tend to get obsessed with, oh, I'm lacking sleep. So first of all, getting that off the table helps out a lot. The other thing that shift workers do is they obsess over time. So what they do, for example, is that they will look at the clock the whole night. So one of the best things to do is unplug the clock and just use a battery-operated clock and just let it go and be confident that the clock will wake them up. And then by not obsessing with getting enough sleep and watching the clock, what they do is they allow for deep restorative sleep. And also by allowing deeper sleep, they don't make as much cortisol and the other catecholamines, so they can sleep effectively.
And supplements for the shift worker to help them sort of reset a sleep pattern?
Well, one thing that could help out in the morning when they are still tired would be the amino acids tyrosine and phenylalanine. That would help. Or carnitine. Those are great energizers that would get them throughout the day.
And what doses would you recommend, Charles?
About 1.5 to 3 grams of tyrosine and phenylalanine, or 3 straight grams of carnitine, preferably the acetyl L-carnitine form, which has been shown to be good at overcoming early morning fatigue.
Now, segueing from shift workers to teenagers, some kids can go to sleep at, you know, 10 o'clock at night and not rise until close to 9 in the morning. Is that normal as energy levels go? You'd think as a teenager they'd be full of energy.
No, what you find, I mean, growing takes energy. And it's quite normal for teenagers to increase their sleep requirements. But what you typically see at teenagehood is that teenagers want to go to bed later, okay? Mm-hmm. So one of the problems of the school system is that kids naturally want to go to bed later, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then they got to wake up at 7 to go to class, and they're not ready to go to class yet. So there are school boards in the United States which have said, you know what, let's not fight it. We're going to start classes at 11. So kids go to bed late, they wake up at 9, 9:30, and they go to school at 11. What they've seen is actually much better academic compliance in those school boards, and it's actually dropped things like stopping school early, you know, kids dropping out of school. So complying with nature is actually smart to do. There are school boards in Nebraska, California, and other states which have basically said, okay, at teenagehood, let's not try to fight nature. Let's just start school late. And it's much better for the child, much better for the parents, no stress for everybody, and everybody does better at school.
So ideally, we should be the tree that bends with the wind and gives into this pattern.
Exactly.
But it's temporary, you say? It rights itself later after growth?
Yeah, usually, actually, it takes quite a while. They should start at the onset of puberty, and usually it can manifest as long as age 21.
Well, let's move away from that. And we had touched on toxicities affecting energy. Would you care to comment on the prime offenders we're aware of at this time?
Worldwide, the biggest offender is actually xenoestrogens, so foreign estrogens.
For affecting energy?
Yes, they do, because xenoestrogens or foreign estrogens are anti-androgenic, so they lower male hormones, and male hormones, whether you're male or female, affect energy. So, for example, if your moisturizer contains these chemicals called parabens, they increase estrogens in the body in the wrong form of estrogens, but they also lower testosterone. So that could be a source. Or if you have a kid, for example, who works in a gas station, well, one thing we know from research is that if you work in a gas station, the pollutants associated with the environment around the gas stations lower testosterone dramatically. Actually, I have one of my teachers in Ireland who had problems getting his testosterone back up, and in a recent interview revealed to me that he worked in a gas station throughout all his teenagehood. So because of that, you know, we found that he had all these petroleum extracts in his body, and we had to send him to a functional medicine practitioner to get rid of those.
Now, petroleum extracts, We see it in everything from the hand care creams to Cool Whip. Is this going to have the same effect as exposure at the gas pump?
Sure will.
So petroleum byproducts across the board?
Yes, they do, but there's a solution to that. If you use some specific types of chlorophyll bound to copper, you can actually pull out those pollutants from the body. We have a product called ChloroDefense that actually does that.
How about we approach the topic of leaky gut and allergies and how that would affect energy?
I think everybody listening should do what we call a food intolerance panel. Now, not all companies offer the right food intolerance panels. I only recommend one company, and I get no financial reward for recommending that company. It's called Signet, and they do a test called the MRT. The MRT does not look at the immune response that you typically get from food allergens, but more at the inflammatory response created by those very specific foods. So I find that clinically, when you use immune response food intolerance tests, a lot of times you get what I call false positives. But when you use inflammatory response markers with a food panel, like the MRT test, you will find that if you pull away those foods from the client's diet, their health improves dramatically. Anything from energy levels and decreased joint pains, better cognition, concentration levels, sleep patterns, and so on. So unsuspected food intolerances is one of the biggest energy leakers in the human body.
And fixing the gut that's been suffering these exposures, what would you do to heal the gut?
We have a protocol that we use with our practitioners called the gut protocol, and it's pretty simple to do. And then what we do with the gut protocol is that we actually repair the intestinal lining, because when you take things like stimulants, let's say ephedrine was a popular weight loss agent. Well, it does work, but you pay the piper later on. So it does really harm the adrenal glands. But one thing we know from clinical tests with ephedrine users is that they encounter a condition called leaky gut syndrome. And basically, you get increased gut permeability. When you get increased gut permeability, you increase the number of food allergens, which increase the amount of cortisol in your body, which increases, conversely, the amount of insulin later on. So, you know, food intolerances and leaky gut is a great stressor to the body. But it's kind of pointless to do a gut repairing protocol if you don't know what your food allergens are. So step number one, you find out who are the offenders. For example, if you're a leaky gut, you could visualize it's a guy that goes around and makes holes in your walls. Okay, so you're sleeping at night and he drills holes in your wall. Well, if you don't get rid of that kid, put him in jail, he's going to keep putting holes into your wall. So that would be the offending foods. So if you have a guy that comes in every day and repairs the walls, but later on somebody makes a hole in the wall, it's pointless. So remove the offender. The only way you're going to remove the offender is by doing it the right food allergen test, which is the MRT. and then you eliminate those foods for 8 weeks, and while you eliminate those foods, you do a 3-week gut protocol. It actually only takes about 18 to 21 days with a good gut healing protocol to repair the damage done to the intestines. But you still want to keep those offending foods away. And at the end of 8 weeks, you redo the MRT test. And the foods that still show up should be avoided for life. What you will find is when you repair a leaky gut, many of the foods that used to be offenders disappear. So, for example, you could take a bodybuilder and you conduct a test, and he has inflammatory reactions to eggs, beef, salmon, tuna, a bunch of fruits and whatever else, gluten, soy, and then you eliminate those foods from his diet, put him on a gut rebuilding protocol, which you'll find at the end of 8 weeks, maybe only gluten, soy, and pineapple, for example, are offenders for him. Then if you keep those of his diet, he's not going to have leaky gut. But without knowing what's offending you, it's kind of pointless to do the gut protocol. And the gut protocol usually centers, there's a lot of ways to go about it, but the one I like to use centers around using enzymes and glutamine and aloe vera and licorice root and so on.
Now, during the 8 weeks of healing, you've spoken of the use of medical foods.
Medical foods will help out because they actually lessen the burden on the GI tract, and properly designed medical foods will have healing agents in it that actually restore gut health.
And you've spoken of the pathological detoxifier. Could you expand on this?
Not everybody is suited to detoxify properly. So you could do genetic testing to determine if you're a good detoxifier or not. And some people cannot detoxify certain compounds. For example, you could have a gene that does not allow you to detoxify diesel and cigarette smoke really well. So let's say you are one of those genotypes and you buy yourself a diesel car. Well, you're always going to have an hidden source of toxic elements which you're not aware of, and they make your life miserable. So there's a very good lab called Genova Diagnostics who does the best genetic testing out there.
But the test that Genova is doing is to see the quality of a detoxifier you are genetically?
That's one of the panels they offer. They offer a panel to determine how good your immune system is. There's a panel to determine how likely you are to have breast cancer. There's another panel that will determine if your bone health is at risk. But one of the panels I run with every single client is what we call the detoxification panel. And what it measures is your ability to detoxify. And what are you good at detoxifying and what you're bad at detoxifying. For example, some genotypes cannot handle barbecue meats. So you take barbecues out of your diet. And if you go to a barbecue because you have to, let's say for work, there's a social gathering and you eat barbecue meats, well, to diminish the negative impact of barbecue meat, your genotype may require folic acid, which is vitamin B9, and the nutrient N-acetylcysteine. So with your barbecue steak or hamburger, you take those two nutrients in supplemental form, and you don't find that barbecue meat affects you that much.
So if toxicity has been the main drain for energy levels, and we're going to take someone through a detoxification process, how do we prepare them for the rigors of the body spilling toxins?
Well, no one should embark on a detoxification cleanse without proper medical care. So first of all, one thing I would suggest is they do find out what's actually ailing them. Because detoxification cleanses, I'm all for them, but they have to be specifically tailored to the individual. So for example, Bob from the UK, because of his environment, may be exposed to a lot of xenoestrogens. For him, a detoxification cleanse should be aimed at detoxification of xenoestrogens. Then you could have Billy, who used to work in a car remodeling business, and then when you test him, he's loaded with heavy metals. Therefore, the detoxification cleanse should be aimed at detoxing heavy metals. For example, I have one of my students, he's from North Carolina, and he used to work in a car remodeling business, and then he had quite a bit of a hard time losing body fat. So I sent him to Dr. Cronin, who's one of the best detoxifying doctors in the world. He's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he tested him and found that he was loaded with lead and some obscure heavy metal, and then put him on a detoxification protocol, and finally he was able to lose body fat. So it has to be specifically tailored to the individual. There's no such thing as a detox in a box cure-all for everybody. Detoxification has to be done after you've undergone specific detoxification testing and use a protocol that is well designed for you.
So screening and professional guidance.
Once again.
To sum up, you want to increase your energy. What steps?
First, you got to plug the leaks. So you should undergo functional testing. Our biosignature practitioners, which you can find on our website, have access nowadays to detoxification tests. So I would do a full screening. You may be loaded with xenoestrogens. You may be loaded with pesticides. You may be loaded with plastics. But if you don't know what you're loaded with, it's kind of pointless to do a detoxification cleanse. So figure that one out. Then doing a detoxification cleanse will lower your toxic load. If you lower your toxic load, for sure, your energy will go up because your mitochondria, which are your energy production factories of the cells, will work well. That's one point. Second point, clean up your diet. Easiest way to clean up your diet, remove all grains from your diet and follow a caveman's diet. So always ask yourself this question if you're not familiar with that process. Would a caveman have access to that food? If the answer is no, don't eat it. So that's your second step. Third step, you got to have a customized supplement plan. Again, a functional medicine practitioner or a good clinical nutritionist can do that for you and will maximize the energy output of your cells.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much, Charles. It's been a pleasure.
More than welcome, Mike.
You have been listening to the Poliquin podcast series. The supplements and dosages stated in this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Consult with your healthcare practitioner prior to any use. To purchase or learn more about the products, books, and websites referenced in this podcast, please visit our website at www.charlespoliquin.com. Click on Articles and Multimedia, then References and Links. To purchase Poliquin supplements in our U.S. or European stores, please go to www.charlespoliquin.com and click Shop Online. This podcast is copyright property of Poliquin Performance LLC 2, all rights reserved. Reproduction or replication in any form by any means, not limited to electronic versions or taping, without written permission of Poliquin Performance LLC 2 is illegal. Violators will be prosecuted.